This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop.
Power back to localities. Before this administration, only one time in our nation's history had a president signed a bill that used the Congressional Review Act to cancel a federal regulation. In less than 100 days, I have signed 13 such congressional resolutions to cancel federal regulations and give power back to the people. And I'm very honored to have done so. I've also... Thank you. True. As you said, five have come from your committee. That's exactly right. Good job. I think she's done a good job. I've also signed over a dozen executive actions that reverse federal intrusion and empower local communities. The executive order I'm signing today is another critical step to restoring local control, which is so important. This executive order directs Secretary DeVos to review current federal regulations and ensure that they don't obstruct the ability of states, local governments, teachers, and most importantly, parents to make the best decision for their students and, in many cases, for their children. Previous administrations have wrongfully forced states and schools to comply with federal whims and dictate what our kids are taught. But we know that local communities do it best and know it best. The time has come to empower parents and teachers to make the decisions that help their students achieve success. That's what this executive order is all about. So important. Thomas Jefferson put it best when he said, "I believe the states can best govern our home concerns." With this executive order, and the many actions we have taken in less than 100 days, we are providing our states and communities with control over the matters that are most important to them. Together, we are going to fight to give our children the bright and beautiful future they deserve.
Just another instance where this president has turned the tables upside down. Now, the challenge that we have when you have been used to an education system operating in a certain way. Interestingly enough, Scott, many people have complained about it, said, look, for all the money that we're putting into it, what's the return on investment? It's really not working very well, this top-down approach where the federal government is telling the localities this is the way it should be, one size fits all. And we've known for a long time, but those voices have been quieted. Now the president, in doing what he did when he got elected, the forgotten man's voice is forgotten no more and is being heard.
Yeah, I also think that they haven't done much with their No Child Left Behind thing. I don't think that does. I don't think that does what they think it does. Mm-hmm. I think you have to, at some point in your life, you have to run into a struggle to where something just doesn't go the way you wanted it to, or you have to try multiple times in order to figure something out. Mm-hmm. By just passing, you know, saying everybody moves on to the next grade, moves on to the next grade. I think you've created kind of what we're dealing with now, to where people, when something doesn't go their way, they're not sure how to react to it, and they don't react to it appropriately. Mm-hmm. You get your violent protests. You get your people fighting against somebody just based off of a name, not the idea.
Mm-hmm. But I think the reason for that, Scott, is we lose objective. You know, when you lose objective, and this has been the problem with this country for a long time. We've disengaged from those core principles and goals and missions that we said early on, this is what we wanted to focus on. Because once you let go of those principles, then everything becomes subjective, it's theoretical, and we've been living in the theoretical for so many decades now, it's no wonder that 6 out of 10 say we're on the wrong track. Well, but we're going to get back on the right track when we get back focused on what the objective is about when it comes to education, right?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Well, we've got more. Stay with us, America. Bill Federer coming up next right here on Bill Martinez Live.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
As we said, that needs to be our focus. If that's, you know, really that important, and most Americans say, 6 out of 10 say we're on the wrong track. So what does the right track look like? And we need to stay focused on that particular objective if things are going to change. And it seems that they're starting to change, but you got to understand, change comes at a price, and it can be painful because Bill Federer, who is with us right now, and as he will tell you, sometimes we don't want to change until the existing experience is so painful that we have no other choice. Right, Bill?
Right. Well, it's great to be with you.
And always.
I put together a book called Who is the King in America? Mm-hmm. And Who are the Counselors to the King? And bottom line, the people.
Yes.
So Republicans, the people are king, ruling through representatives. And when we pledge allegiance to the flag and to the republic, you're basically pledging allegiance to you being in charge of yourself under God. And
that's what we need to connect back with, Bill, is that the people have, you know, disengaged from that core foundational elemental principle that we are in charge. The president and all the elected officials serve at our behest, not the other way around. They've turned it around on us, and we think, oh, all glory and honor to the king, because, as you noted in your book, that's kind of like our default mentality, isn't it?
Right. So I did a new book called Who is the King in America, and I researched all of recorded human history, found out that writing began around 3 or 4,000 B.C., Sumerian cuneiform on clay tablets in the Mesopotamian Valley. Of course, 3 or 4,000 B.C. and we're around 2,000 A.D. is around 5 or 6,000 years. And so that's not that long. I mean, yes. 6,000 years is only 60 people living 100 years each.
Exactly.
So everyone's met someone who's lived 100 years, maybe a grandmother. We're talking 60 grandmas, and you're back to the beginning of recorded human history. People seem to find that amazing. But the most common form of government's a king. So whether we call them a pharaoh, Caesar, Kaiser, Sultan, Tsar. And if you've ever seen a nautilus shell where it has the little circle, then it comes around with a little bigger circle and a bigger, bigger. You track these empires, and they go from Nimrod, Tower of Babel. Then they get bigger with Sargon of Akkadia, conquered from the Persian Gulf to the Mediterranean. Then it gets bigger with the Egyptian pharaohs and the Chinese emperors and the Indian maharajas. Then it gets bigger with Cyrus of Persia and then Alexander the Great. Then it gets bigger with the Roman Empire and Attila the Hun and the Muslim sultans. And finally, the maritime empires of Spain, France. But finally, the King of England had the biggest. He was, in a sense, a globalist, right? He had all of India and Australia, New Zealand, and America. And America's founders, we didn't like the globalist thing. We took the power of a king and we split it into three branches, split it federal to state level, tied it up with 10 handcuffs. We call the first 10 amendments. So in essence, all the Constitution is a bunch of hurdles to prevent the rubber band from snapping back into the hands of a king.
Exactly. And, well, I'll tell you, for a while there, there was some question, Bill, under this last administration, if that rubber band had been stretched beyond its ability to snap back.
Right, and the dilemma is it's in human nature. The same way you have put babies in a playpen, one takes the rattle from another. You put some kids on a playground, one's the bully hogging the ball, put some junior high girls in a clique, and one of them's the diva. It just happens. Power wants to concentrate, and it's hierarchical. If you're friends with the king, you're more equal. You're not friends with the king, you're less equal. You're an enemy of the king, you're dead. It's called treason, or you're a slave. And that's the norm until America flipped it. But unfortunately, in addition to this gravitational pull, you have people that want to intentionally have power concentrate, and they've noticed that power seems to concentrate in times of crises. And so their idea is to intentionally create crises.
Exactly.
Machiavelli, Hegel, Karl Marx. But Washington, in his farewell address, gave a warning, and he says, usurpation, that's doing something you're not authorized to do, usurpation, though in one instance is the instrument of good, it is the customary weapon by which free governments are destroyed. And so, in other words, the worst thing that can happen is somebody that says, I want to do something good, I just need a little more power to do it. So, you know, you look at history, and it was good that Lincoln ended slavery. But in the process, a lot of rights did go from the states to the federal government. It was good that Franklin Roosevelt wanted to end the Depression, but he concentrates power with his New Deal programs in the federal government. It was good that Lyndon Johnson wanted to end poverty, but he concentrates power with his Great Society welfare state into the hands of the federal government. It was good that President Bush wanted to make sure there's no more terrorist attacks, but he concentrates power into the federal government with his NSA, and the government can read all your emails and track all your Google searches.
And the Patriot Act, yeah, right?
Right, and so we just got done with 8 years of President Obama, and he would say, I want to do something good. I don't have time to wait for Congress. I got my pen and my phone. I'm just going to do it. And you have these Democrats doing sit-ins in Congress saying, he wants to do something good, let him have a little more power to do it. The problem is, when you do that, you're fundamentally transforming the government from a bottom-up to a top-down. It's a polarity.
Exactly. Right. And now, and of course, the elites in D.C., they love that because they're convinced, Bill, that they're geniuses. And here we are, $20 trillion in debt, and the geniuses have got us there.
Right. You know, it's interesting. In my study of world history, I've identified one of the telltale signs right before an empire or a country collapses. It's debt. So the Roman Empire, as long as it was expanding, it was living off the conquered peoples. And then Hadrian's Wall said this far and no further. They had to live within their means, but then they ended up getting in debt, and they got weakened and collapsed. The Spanish Empire, as long as it was conquering and gathering gold from the New World, it was doing fine. But then when the gold ran out, it was still living above its means, and it got in debt until it turned into this rotten shell, and it collapsed. The Ottoman Empire, as long as it was expanding, it was living off the conquered peoples, and then they had to live within their means, and then it began to collapse. We did the same thing to the Soviet Union. It was called the arms race. So
right.
Reagan spent on our military. Russia tried to keep up, and they're funneling money from their economy to their military. Their economy ends up cratering, and they get bankrupt. And so under Obama, we basically did to ourselves what we did to the Soviet Union.
Mm.
He doubled our debt. And so, you know, I tell people debt is like fat to the body politic, right?
Mm.
You have a body.
Right.
You eat stuff you shouldn't. You got to carry it around. It's fat. It's not brain tissue. It's not muscle tissue. It does not add anything. But yet you got to pay interest on it. You got to carry this around.
Yeah.
And so
it takes away more than it gives. That's for sure.
And so so Obama put us in a very vulnerable situation. I do. I thought that one of the best lines in the inaugural address of Trump is we're not transferring power from one party to another. We're transferring power from Washington, D.C. back to the people.
Exactly.
And that's very encouraging. Now, the rhinos, Republican in name only, have been resisting him. That's been frustrating. A study was done of what motivates politicians. And the answer was election. They want to get elected.
That's right.
And the higher you go, the more money you need. And so the people that are leaders in the different parties, Republican and Democrat, they have to get money from somewhere. And so they indebt themselves to big globalist interests and big PACs. And they end up representing the people that give them money, not the people of the country.
Talk about selling your soul to the company store, right?
Yes.
One more time. Bill Fetter is with us, nationally known speaker, best-selling author, president of Amerisearch, Inc., a publishing company dedicated to researching America's noble heritage. His American Minute radio features broadcast daily on stations across the country, and his Faith in History TV program airs daily on DirecTV via the TCT network. He is a former U.S. congressional candidate. And we've got more from Bill Federer on the other side of the break. You want to stay with us, America, as you can tell. And get out your number two Ticonderoga pencil, your legal pad. Keep making notes because he is loaded with all kinds of information to help you. 15 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hi there, Dick Allgaier here. I was a mainstream television news reporter for over three decades. I normally never do commercial endorsements. I am very skeptical of health supplements, but a friend of mine told me about his experience with Synergy One, so I purchased a bottle, and my wife and I have been using it for a few weeks now. I very much dislike so-called energy boosters, those little energy drinks that have caffeine and guarana and other things that make your heart race. This is not that. My experience with Synergy One has been great. My mood is better. My joints feel better. I have more vigor, more stamina, way increased productivity. My wife and I both noticed that we even dream more. So I recommend Synergy One. It's really good stuff. I'm having great results with it.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldway.com.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of my pillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented my pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.
Letting you know about it before the defecation hits the oscillation. Bill Martinez, live.
And we bring you the experts to give you the information and the facts, Jack, as they say that you need to hear. Bill Federer, one of those celebrated experts, nationally known speaker, best-selling author, president of Amerisearch, publishing company dedicated to researching America's noble heritage. Bill, you know, in the last segment, we talked about slavery and America's approach to slavery with Abraham Lincoln, and that it was more of a top-down dictate that was really a bottom-up issue. And, you know, and we talk about the difference because you have America getting rid of slavery. You also, almost concurrently, you have the British. Well, I guess afterwards you had the British, addressing slavery. We go to civil war. Britain does not. What's the difference between these two?
Britain had the Wesleys. They had revival, and they had John Newton and William Wilberforce. And these were Christians that used the parliamentary process, William Wilberforce, to outlaw the slave trade, and then out of a whole life's long effort, finally got them to outlaw slavery. France, when it had its revolution, it outlawed slavery within France, but not in the French territories. And so Haiti was the richest colony in the world, really. I mean, it's sugar, and it was based on the slave trade. So France did not free the slaves on Haiti. And so they had a 10-year revolt. Hundreds of thousands died. America, it was after that America comes along. Now, we had five categories. Like your five fingers, right? So you had the extreme radical Republican North said slavery is wrong, end it now. Mm-hmm. You had the moderate Republican North that said slavery is wrong, let's transition out of it over time. You don't want to just shove your kid out of the house if he can't hold a job. You don't want to shove somebody off your plantation if they can't read and write, so let's do this orderly. Mm-hmm. Then you had the neutral that said, we don't care about social issues like slavery. We just care about economics, tariff taxes and price of cotton and so forth. And then you had the moderate Democrat South that said slavery is wrong, but we got to live with it. It's been here for centuries. Just treat your slaves nice. And then you had the extreme Democrat South that said slavery is good. Let's expand it into the new territories that are coming into the Union after the Louisiana Purchase. And let's force these Northerners to participate in slavery through the fugitive slave law. So if a slave escapes to the North, it's a federal crime for somebody in the North to help them get to Canada. You know, it's interesting. We have those five categories today when it comes to abortion, right? Mm-hmm. You have the radical Republican pro-life that abortion is wrong, and now then you have these rhinos that say, well, let's take our time getting out of it. Mm-hmm. And then the people in the middle that don't care about social issues, they just care about economics. And then the moderate Democrats that say, well, abortion's wrong, just have it be rare and few. And then the extreme Democrats that say abortion is good. Let's include it in the Obamacare and force these little nuns to have to pay for abortion, even though they sell it. And so, but you look at the social issue of slavery, but then you look at the economic issue. And cotton was the biggest traded item in the world. It was the oil back in the early 1800s, the equivalent as far as economic trade. And so a whole lot of it came from the agricultural South in America, and it went to the British textile industry. And a couple of the things that led up to the war is that they had bumper crops in the South before the Civil War, and they had a glut of it, and England bought a whole lot of it. And so when the war started, with the threat of the war, the crops in the South, they had a couple of real bad years, and the price of cotton went up, and Britain didn't need to buy anymore because they had a whole lot. And so all of a sudden, the South has cotton that nobody wants to buy. Ironically, talk about economics, somebody came up with the idea of let's create an even bigger shortage and let's burn lots of our cotton.
Oh, wow.
And they did. They burned thousands of pounds of it. The problem was, it made the price of cotton go up, but Britain, instead of paying the higher price, began to look for alternative sources like India and China.
Right. See, they burned the cotton in the wrong place. Had they burned Britain's cotton, you know, like the Tea Party or something, it might have served them better.
Before the Civil War, cotton exports from America's southern states made up 77% of the 800 million pounds used by Britain's textile industry. Mm. And but then after they burned the cotton, created this shortage. The price of cotton rose, and then China and India began to supply. So the South is really hurting financially. And so into this situation, you have the radical Republicans saying, free your slaves. It's like, maybe in a good year we might think of it, but this is like really of the wrong time.
Wow. Yeah.
And so Abraham Lincoln began to blockade the southern ports. And so now they couldn't even ship the cotton to the other countries because the other countries wouldn't honor Confederate dollars, but they'd trade for cotton. So sort of a barter. We'll give you cotton, you give us arms. But when Lincoln did his anaconda strategy, like a big snake that would start going around the whole southern Confederacy, cutting off these ports. Now, John Adams had a grandson who was the U.S. ambassador to Britain. His name was Charles Francis Adams. And he convinces the British to stay neutral during the Civil War. And then Lincoln, when he made the decision to emancipate the slaves, it switched the war from an economic states' rights war into a war about slavery. This was a brilliant political strategy because, as you mentioned, Britain had gotten rid of slavery prior to the American Revolution. And so no leader in Britain wanted to be perceived as supporting slavery. And so in politics, this is called gaining the moral high ground.
Yes, exactly.
If you were to have a casino wants to come in and people say they're going to bring in prostitution and drugs and it's terrible, but the casino says, you know what, we're going to spend a little of our money for schools. And so they have this big ad campaign. Are you in favor of schools? Are you in favor of the children? Then you'll vote for Proposition B to let the casinos come in. You're not voting for Proposition. You have us hate the children. You're a terrible person. It's like, wait, they gained the moral high ground because they said we're for the children. But exactly. When in actuality, they're there to, you know, do their gambling and all the stuff that comes with it. Well, when Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation, it was hands off of the Confederacy. These European powers that were, you know, still considering to support the South didn't. And so now the South is really hurting. Slavery. The Southern economy did rely on slavery. The first slaves came to America in 1619. They were on a Dutch ship. A little background. The Muslims had slavery for 8 centuries before America was discovered. And they would take the Africans and sell them from Timbuktu, where the canoe meets the caravan. They'd sell them in Khartoum. They'd sell them in Zanzibar. So the Muslims were enslaving Africans. When Columbus discovers the New World, you have greedy Spaniards who would enslave Native Americans. And so the same time that Martin Luther was doing the Reformation, there was a good Spaniard. He was a Catholic priest, Bartolome de las Casas, spends his whole life to convince the King of Spain to outlaw the enslavement of Native Americans. When he is finally successful, the greedy people say, where can we get more slaves? Someone said, Africa. And so that's when they began to go to the Muslim slave ports, bring them over to America. And at first they were like indentured servants, but then they became permanent servants. And then you had the Constitution. At that time, they outlawed the importation of slaves in 1807. Prior to the Civil War, 19 states did voluntarily get rid of slavery. Then you had the Missouri Compromise, where the Democrat Senator Stephen Douglas says, here's this line across America, everything above it, no slaves, everything below it, slaves. But anyway...
Bill, with about 30 seconds left there, sum it up, you know, why we're still here today and we're still in this contentious battle over slavery that was pretty well, you know, we thought was done away with, but we're still dealing with the aftermath.
Right. Well, sort of mixing the first part of our talk, you have agitators that want to have crises. And so they would send people into countries, find fault lines and tension lines, stir it up until there's outbreaks of violence, and then there would be an excuse for a dictator to take over. And so whether it's the Hutus against the Tutsis in the Congo and Rwanda, or whether it's people that still have grievances in America, they want to stir up a grievance. Works best if they're not Christian. Napoleon said even religion is what keeps the poor from murdering.
Exactly.
Religion.
Well, Bill Federer, we got to leave it at that. Thank you so much for being with us.
If you want term life insurance, call Life Quotes. We guarantee you the lowest prices, or we will pay you $500. Plus, get up to $1 million in term life insurance with no medical exam. You do need term life insurance. Call Life Quotes now.
800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Get that spring flooring project done with incredible deals from Lumber Liquidators. This week at the best selection of Woodlook waterproof flooring, up to 24% off. All water-resistant Dream Home Ultra X2O laminate is 11 to 13% off. And get 10% off pre-finished engineered hardwood and engineered bamboo. They're great for every environment and every level of your home. More deals from 69 cents plus special financing. Get the perfect floor with deals from Lumber Liquidators today.
Hey, diabetics.
Yeah, you.
Got a spare hour to waste going to the pharmacy to get your insulin or other meds and supplies every month? I didn't think so. Me either. I've got life going on, which is why I use PillPack. PillPack is an amazing online pharmacy. They package up all my diabetic meds and testing supplies into daily doses and send it to me every month, automatically. All I do is pay my normal copay. PillPack does the rest. I'm serious. This is a free service. They don't even charge for shipping. PillPack handles all the medical insurance stuff and even get with my doctors for my other prescriptions so I don't have to, which is good because that's the stuff I forget. But PillPack remembers everything. They even package up my daily vitamins so I remember to take them too. If you're diabetic, your meds and supplies are life and death, which means you need PillPack. Call right now for this free service. You may even qualify for $25 in free vitamins. 800-560-7310. That's 800-560-7310. Again, 800-560-7310.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by, making minimum payments? You should know. The credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out. Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people, they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Reduce a large portion of your debt now. Call National Debt Relief at 800-314-7417. 800-314-7417. That's 800-314-7417.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez live.
Hey, we're back with you, America. Bill Martinez here, about 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Just a reminder again to send in your selfie to Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. I'm talking about the selfie in front of Broadway Bill's billboard there on 42nd Street in Times Square in New York. While you're visiting, if you're there in the area, just, hey, take a picture, take a snap, send it to us, Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. We got a bunch of stuff, bunch of swag to give away. So send us your pictures, and we'll post them on the website, and we'll have a lot of fun with it. And again, thank you for participating and getting the good word out there about Bill Martinez Live. It comes to you Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Spread the good word. I mean, we give you experts like Bill Federer. Great stuff, huh? Powerful information. You go back, it's always fascinating to visit with Bill because of the history. I mean, this is the best history class you could be in between here and Bruce Kaufman and all the other historians that we bring on from time to time. I mean, this is what this show is all about. What makes us so unique is that, we could, exercise a lot of conversation. That's okay, and it's good to do because we need to be able to confront these issues. And as I say, because we've been told in the name of political correctness and safe zones and, hurting people's feelings, that when we confront these issues, that it's problematic. Not to mention, along with that, like Ann Coulter and others, and Milo, you got people that want to invalidate you and say, "Hey, you're not welcome here." Well, the unfortunate part when people do that is in quieting these voices. This is why when we were talking yesterday about the First Amendment, why it is so critical and it's absolutely foundational to to our republic. If you take the First Amendment out of play, as Floyd Abrams said yesterday, I mean, really, that is that is key to liberty. It's key to this country. It's what makes us so unique and why we're, you know, so adamant about fighting for the, we may be confused about what it all means at times, but we know there's just something inherently significant about free speech. And of course, we would hope in areas where there would be civility, that civility would reign, there would be responsible free speech. But, you know, sometimes we're not as delicate as we should be, and it's only representative of the pain that the country is experiencing right now. Yes, you know, Hillary didn't get elected. It surprised everybody. Trump is brash. Not necessarily everybody's, you know, perfect ideal president. But I trust in what God says, and that is that he is the one who appoints leaders and presidents and people who are in charge of countries. So there was a reason why Hillary Clinton was not elected, and I look to God for that answer and say, okay, and I know some people, you know, who don't believe in God and say, oh, Bill, I can't believe you said that. You know, why would you, you know, subordinate your own responsibility? Well, you know, I trust God, and I'll subordinate my perspective and hold my worldview based on what God says. And he says that he is the one who appoints leaders. So for a time such as this, Donald Trump is here. Now, the opportunity that we have, because you've got to understand, if God in your life is sovereign and he is in charge and this is his popcorn stand, if you go along with God, what God's doing, it is probably going to go better with you as opposed to kicking at the goads. You know, and I look at what is happening in our country today and how much contention we have. And I think it's so unfortunate that we have all this contention. We're wasting all this energy. We're wasting money. Opportunity. I mean, imagine what Donald Trump could have been able to accomplish in the first 100 days if there had been just a little bit more cooperation. But at every turn, you know, they're trying to, you know, invalidate him, you know, say that, you know, we still got the Putin connection, all this stuff that comes up. I mean, it's like they're, you know, they might as well be Don Quixote with Sancho Pancho, because for all this time that has taken place, and with all the power the NSA, the CIA, FBI has at their avail, what have we come up with? You know, what do we know? Do we know any more than we did when these names started to be unmasked, which to me is the bigger sin, that you unmasked Michael Flynn? But no, let's talk about let's keep the pressure on Mike Flynn, on General Flynn, and talk about, you know, potentially some illegal things that he did.
And that's not to say that if he did do illegal things, that I don't want that to be found out. Like, I want to know if,
exactly.
if he did.
Right.
But like you said, there's a few things that went wrong here. One, he was unmasked. That should have never happened. Why'd that happen? That's one. But that is separate from what he did.
Right. Yeah, and the thing is that in terms of, you know, the bigger sin here, is that you've got, you know, D.C. is, you know, loaded with leakers. That is the capital of the Beltway. You know, that is the economy of the Beltway, is if you've got information, inside information, wow, that's gold. And there are people that travel in those circuits, and that's what they live for, is getting their hands on these secrets, right?
Well, and then that's also what's led to the issue with it that we've had with the press. Mm-hmm. You can't keep telling me about anonymous sources. At some point in time, you got to put names on the people that are giving you this information.
Mm-hmm.
Because I could make up a story right now, and anonymous sources told me.
Right. Well, you know, it's kind of like with Watergate when it came down. It started out with anonymous sources, eventually became Deep Throat. And then eventually there were, you know, some people that were coming out, and there were names you could attach. There was evidence to start. And that was all done in about, you know, within 8 months or so.
Whoa.
As this stuff started to come forth. I mean, here it is. What have we been? 9 going on 10 months here. And we still have Bupkis. But, everybody's Don Quixote. They're on, you know, they're on their horse and on their mule running around chasing windmills on this whole situation. And meanwhile, last time I checked, we got serious problems, whether it's job creation, productivity, a GDP, $20 trillion in debt.
Well, And the difference on Deep Throat is that those reporters took the time to research it and put something together. Now it's you get the anonymous source and somebody's tweeting it. You're tweeting it right away, yeah, or exactly. you're throwing up a headline right away.
Mm. And they talk about Trump. They talk about Trump. I mean, what is it? Somebody was saying that in their town hall experience, the number one thing that they found that people, if they had something to say to Donald Trump, was to say, you know, stop tweeting. I think they're somewhat naive in appreciating why Donald Trump tweets. And, you know, they got to stop and think about it. You know, you've got a media that has become purveyors of fake news. And sadly, I mean, it's the mainstream media. And you think of all the people there, you know, credible journalists that are all getting entangled and, you know, kind of getting the stuff on them. The fake news junk, you know, that's getting on them and on their profession. It's got to be sad, you know, sad for them. How would you like to be in that profession, that line of work, that you're very proud, you went to school, you've worked your way up, and now all of a sudden you're being tainted? And some of this stuff is that I think the journalists need to check themselves a bit and maybe do some interconsideration and introspective meditation or a moment of evaluation to say, hey, look at, is my ideology, is it coming out in my reporting? Am I letting that influence my reporting too much? And the tough thing about that is they're questioning that in an environment that is, you know, fixed in this 9-dot paradigm. And that is, if you look through the editorial staffs, if you look through these controlling hubs at all these major networks and newspaper facilities, it's obvious that they're liberally fixed. And so if you have somebody that says, hey, look at, you know, I want to do this a little bit different. Well, you know, their work may not be picked up because it doesn't rhyme with the reason of the editor. So it's an uphill battle, and it's going to take some courage for these professional journalists and journalists that America needs, because we need them to document history. We need you to do your job. And to get caught up in the ideology, I'm not saying you're not welcome to an opinion, but as far as your reporting is concerned, we need to hear the facts. That's what we need you to do, is leverage your giftings, your talents, to get us, we the people, the facts that we need.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-617-9312. 800-617-9312. 800-617-9312.
This report brought to you by Cox Communications. We're living in a time of constant connectivity. Thanks to advancing technologies, we can now connect our homes and make them more efficient and smarter. Cox Communications is demonstrating the smart home of the future, connecting more than 50 devices to high-speed broadband in several homes this year on a national tour. Everything from appliances, healthcare, speakers, lights, doors, even pet feeders can talk to home networks and each other, keeping you connected to your home via the internet, even when you're miles away. Sarah Evans, consumer tech expert, digital correspondent.
Cox Communications has outfitted the smart home of the future. This will allow families to live more connected and efficient lives and have a little more fun. Cox's smart home is powered by high-speed broadband and includes voice-controlled TV and app-driven interface for home automation. The best news is that all the tech shown in the demo is available today.
To learn more about smart homes and the latest technology, visit cox.com.
Get that spring flooring project done with incredible deals from Lumber Liquidators. This week at the best selection of Woodlook waterproof flooring, up to 24% off. All water-resistant Dream Home Ultra X2O laminate is 11 to 13% off. And get 10% off pre-finished engineered hardwood and engineered bamboo. They're great for every environment and every level of your home. More deals from 69 cents plus special financing. Get the perfect floor with deals from Lumber Liquidators today.
Lifetime Grazed 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com or find us on Facebook.
Today, how to incorporate your business in just 10 minutes so you won't lose everything if you get sued. Step 1, stop putting it off. If you're not incorporated and someone sues your business tomorrow, it's not just your business at risk. You can lose everything, your home, your car, even your life savings. Step 2, call the following number for a free 10-minute incorporation guide from Incorporate.com. 1-800-945-1063. They don't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating quick and easy. So you can incorporate or form an LLC in just 10 minutes. That number again is 1-800-945-1063. Step 3, congratulate yourself. By taking just 10 minutes to incorporate your business or form an LLC, you protected your home, your car, and your life savings. And that is how you incorporate your business in just 10 minutes. But hurry while they're still giving away these 10-minute incorporation guides for free. Call 1-800-945-1063. That's 1-800-945-1063.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
It's about time someone had the courage to say it. Bill Martinez, live.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. One drop me an email. Hey, we'd love to hear from you. Good, bad, indifferent. Let us know what's on your heart. Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. William Christie is with us right now. A graduate of the University of Pennsylvania, is a former Marine like yours truly, a former Marine Corps infantry officer, I might add, author of 8 novels, 5 under his own name, and the latest 2 under a pen name, F.J. Chase. He also wrote SEAL Team 7, Direct Action for Berkeley Books under the name Keith Douglas. William Christie, one of the as-known-as names.
Well, actually, that is my real name.
Of course. Okay, well, good. Welcome to Bill Martinez Live. Good to have you with us, sir.
Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, congratulations on the new book, A Single Spy. Give us a brief outline on that, if you would.
Well, it's a spy novel set during World War II, but it's not the typical spy novel you're used to. Instead of the Americans and the British, it deals with the espionage war between the Russians and the Germans in World War II.
Those doggone Russians, they just can't help themselves, huh? It's a hard habit to break, you know. Once you start spying on people, you just keep doing it.
You know, honestly, they've always been the masters of espionage because they take the long view of it, and they did it way back when, too. As a matter of fact, the novel is really about a double agent, a Russian intelligence officer, that they insert into German intelligence even before World War II began, because that's just what the Russians do. They spy on their adversaries.
Well, they're kind of looking at the trajectory of where this may end up, right? And they're trying to line people up in spots to where they might be able to catch information. And like you say, it's a long-term project. And, you know, for some cultures that do not have the patience, well, they miss out on opportunities that the Russians are happy to take advantage of.
Well, exactly. As a matter of fact, that's where the title of the book comes from, the Russian attitude that a single spy in the right place and the right moment can change the course of history, which really has always has nearly happened on several occasions with their agents.
Mm-hmm. Well, William, the book, A Single Spy, you talk about this German plot to assassinate the three Allied leaders at Tehran. How much truth is in that, or is it just your imagination?
Well, the Tehran Conference in 1943 was the first time that Churchill, Roosevelt, and Stalin all met face-to-face with each other.
Mm-hmm.
It happened in November-December 1943. The Germans actually learned about it in October of 1943, and they began putting together a plan to assassinate the three of them. Now, this is where fiction and reality bump into each other. The Germans, Otto Skorzeny, who was Hitler's favorite commando, who was given the job of planning the mission, he survived World War II, and he said it never took place, that he had abandoned the planning. The Russians, on the other hand, have always made the point that they foiled this plot from taking place, that it actually reached the point of them picking up German agents in Tehran just before the conference. So, with that uncertain bit of history, it was the perfect opportunity for a fiction author to write a novel about it.
Well, not to mention a perfect opportunity for the Russians to kind of gain some capital out of this mystery. They could say anything they want, but in this particular scenario that they put out, they look like they're on top of their game, don't they?
Well, you know, whenever any intelligence agency gives an account of itself, you can really always believe that not very much of it is true, but it's always in the service of an agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this operation, which the Germans called Operation Long Jump, has been a big part of Russian history and Russian fiction and everything else. And part of their story is that a double agent, a Russian intelligence officer that they had put into German military intelligence, basically spilled the details of this plot, and that led to their coup, so to speak, in preventing it.
Well, William, if this was Operation Long Jump, maybe their manipulation or attempt to manipulate the 5 month ago election process here in the United States could be Operation Longer Jump, maybe, huh?
Well, British and American intelligence always felt that this operation never took place.
Mm-hmm.
That it was part of a Russian agenda to tell the Americans that there was a Nazi plan against the big three, Churchill, Stalin, and Roosevelt, and that caused the Americans to agree to Stalin's suggestion that Roosevelt stay in the Soviet embassy in Tehran during the conference. And, of course, while he and his entourage were staying in the Soviet embassy, of course, their rooms were bugged and their papers were gone through and their negotiating positions were checked over, and Stalin had a great deal of information as far as what was going to happen.
Yeah, what a nice little treasure trove, and we'll just throw out a boogeyman there and keep them right where we need them, right?
Well, whether or not it took place, the Russians made some really excellent capital over
it. Without a doubt. In the book, is there a model in your life or in literature for the novel's protagonist, Alexei Ivanovich Smirnov?
Well, not really, so to speak. In the Russian accounts of what they say happened, you know, their double agent was a typical young communist hero. And fictionally, that didn't really interest me very much. Because, of course, propaganda is propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
My idea was to take a young man who had grown up in the Soviet Union during the famines of the 1930s, the Stalin's purges of the 1930s, and then had found himself in being inducted into Soviet intelligence for reasons dealing with more of the fact that of how easy it would be to get him into Germany rather than his ideology, so to speak. Yeah. And it was really a great opportunity in fiction to have your character look, observe, you know, all the angry history of the 20th century. Famine, the purges. He's in German. Of course, today is Holocaust Remembrance Day. There's a chapter in the book that, where he observes Kristallnacht, the Night of the Broken Glass, which was the first anti-Jewish purge in Germany in 1938. He's basically the observer of all this, and you know he's a sympathetic, unsympathetic character. Mainly because there was a great quote that I found when I was doing my research of the Russian famine of the 30s. And one of the things someone said was that the tragic thing about famine is that the first people to die are always the simple people who did what they were told, the ones that would never steal food, lie, or break the law. Mm-hmm. And the people that survived were the ones that were the thieves, really.
Interesting. It kind of makes sense, doesn't it?
Well, you know, we're civilized because we grew up in civilization. Mm-hmm. And when things get bad, the things that it takes to survive are sometimes not the most attractive things about human beings. But, you know, we're programmed for survival, too.
Yeah, there is a time, time and season, and if you're synced up to the wrong time or season, it can be costly, and it seems like that would be the case, you know, especially when you are raised a certain way and you think, okay, this is the way it should be, but like you say, you dismay your natural instinct to survive, and you make yourself very vulnerable in the process. Well, you know, for you, this was the first opportunity, I guess, for historical fiction. You know, how did writing this book differ from the other works for you?
Well, I've always been a history buff. And I had always written really contemporary thrillers or contemporary military thrillers. And this was an idea that had kind of been percolating in the back of my mind for a while. And I really enjoyed it, particularly, you know, delving into the period, because I wanted to write a novel. Of course, it's not a history lesson, it's a thriller. But I wanted to write a thriller with every historical detail accurate. That, you know, occasionally in the story you meet real people, and those real people are true to history. They were there in that place. They were there at that time. They were like that. So when you meet Wilhelm Canaris, who's the head of the German Secret Service, you're meeting him in his office, and he's the way he was. And again, you know, when you're a witness to the first British bombing of Berlin in 1943, you're there on the ground the way it happened. And of course, I'm also being influenced by accounts of people who were there on the ground being bombed when it happened.
Exactly. Well, for you, as you were researching and writing the book, what was there like a big light bulb moment that hit you as you were developing the whole concept?
Well, I got the idea, and I've had the idea for a number of years, and I was reading a history book about the war in the Eastern Front in World War II.
William, I'm sorry, we only got about 15 seconds, and I apologize for that last question, because I know it's going to take you a little bit longer to take, but, you know, I guess that's a good reason to have you back, so we'll let everybody wonder, okay, what was the big light bulb moment for you, okay?
It would be my pleasure, and thanks so much for having me.
Hey, thank you for being with us. The author of the book, A Single Spy, William Christie, the book available at all the usual places, and it'll be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your
tax debt lightly because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson.